Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin. I have no idea where we're starting today. Okay, well, I guess we'll find out in just a moment. I'll make executive decisions if necessary. Anyway, thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the Daf. Daf Lupin Zeich Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. Okay, yesterday and today, half of tomorrow, some of the heavier Gemaras that deal with Rosh Hashanah and the din of Rosh Hashanah. We are not expected to fully understand these Gemaras. These Gemaras are going to give some description, some basic description of what din is going to look like, what judgment is going to look like in this world, in the world to come, in the next stage after that. So the what's the next stage after that? Anyway, according to most Rishonim, there are three stages: this world, the Olam Neshamos, and then. Anyway, it gives us some description of what it's going to look like to the best of our ability, at least to the best of my ability. We're going to try to go through these Gemaras, try to understand these Gemaras, but they are obviously really difficult, some of it a little scary sounding, but okay, we'll give it some we'll give it some basic understanding. Where do you leave off yesterday? Okay, so we're up to Rav Chris Padai?
Right.
Okay, good. All right, Daf, we're starting on test. I wasn't, all right, for those listening at home, I wasn't here yesterday, I didn't give the Daf yesterday, so I'm learning for the first time where we're starting from. Okay, anyway, I'm a Rabbi Chris Padai, Tezayin Amud Beis. We are starting, it's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. I'm Rosh Chris Padai, I'm Rav Yochanan, Shlosh HaSfarim Miftach, and Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are open up on Rosh Hashanah. Echash of Hashem, Gemorim, Vechash of Tzadik, and Gemorim. So the extremes. So one book is for those who are blatantly Rishayim, those who are blatantly Tzadikim, Vechash of Beinonim. And then there's a third book open up for the Beinonim. So Tzadikim, Gemorim, Nechtavim, Venechtamim, La'alter. So those who are Tzadik, so that's it. So they're sealed right away. Lechayim. And they're sealed for life. Rishayim, Gemorim, Nechtavim, La'alter, Lamisa. And those who are Rishayim Gemorim, so they're sealed immediately for death. And Beinonim, Tuluyim Va'omdim Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim. So they're in suspense, literally suspension. They're suspended. And that goes from Rosh Hashanah into Yom Kippur. Remember, this is the description over here is Din. Din, as we already learned in the earlier in the Masech, there's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So in Rosh Hashanah, when we have the Din, so those who are standing on the extremes, so they are not only judged, but sealed. Judge sealed on Rosh Hashanah itself. But for the Beinonim, so they get an extension, and their extension goes from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Zachu. Now, if from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, they're Zoche, which means that they involve themselves in Tshuva, hence, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, so Nechtav L'Chaim, so then they're written for Chaim. And Lo Zachu Nechtav L'Misa. And if they're not Zoche, so then they are Nechtav L'Misa. Amar Rabbi Abin. Okay, before we go on in the Gemara, some obvious issues that are dealt with over here by the Rishonim, and that is life and death. What are we talking about over here? So if we're talking about life and death on this world, so you look around and you see that it doesn't always seem that way, that the people who are living what seems to be virtuous lives do die in the course of the year, and they're not nechtav l'chaim. In fact, eventually I heard a rumor that we're all going to die, So it's hard to understand the Gemara Kipshuta, the simple Pshat of the Gemara is that you live a virtuous life and you're going to be Nechtav L'Chaim. It's not always true. And then you see people who are virtuous and they're Nechtav, it go the other way. You see Rishayim. And they're not, and they make it through the year and they may make it through a bunch of years. And so it's hard to understand the Gemara Kipshuta. Tosus's Mahalech is that Chaim and Misa are not a reference to life on this earth, but Chaim and Misa means Chaya Olam Haba, and Misa means Olam Haba, meaning that the din is for Chaim and for Misa in Olam Haba. It is difficult for Tosfos then to understand, meaning, so good, so then you understand that we're not over here, the Gzar din over here is not on what's going on in this world, but what's going on in the next world. That part's good. But then why you need a repeated judgment year after year, meaning what's the necessity of that? What is that add to the discussion? So that's difficult for Tosfos, and that certainly requires some elaboration. The Ravid on the Rambam, so he gives a different pshat, and I looked it up yesterday. So the Ravid on the Rambam says, no, that Chaim and Mavis over here means that a person is born with a certain lifespan, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated how long you're going to live. Chaim and Mavis means that every Rosh Hashanah you're going to be judged, and Mavis will mean that some of the life will be detracted, and Chaim means some of the life will be added over what the whatever the absolute number is. That's the Ravid who says it on the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. Okay, I should have brought a Rambam with me today. Okay, that was a mistake. Anyway, Amar Rabbi Avin Maikra. Okay, back to the Gemara. The pasuk says, "Yimachu misefer Chaim ve'im tzadikim al yechtevu." The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, and the Gemara breaks up the pasuk in Tehillim and explains the pasuk in Tehillim. "Yimachu misefer," so should be blotted out from the sefer, the sefer of Rishayim Gemurim. So that's a reference to the sefer of the Rishayim Gemurim, as we pointed out. Once you make it into that sefer, so that's it. That's a chasim al altar. Chaim. Now the word Chaim mentioned in the pasuk, that's a reference to the tzaddikim. The im tzaddikim ayechtevu is the sefer shel beinanim, and then the reference to the beinanim sefer. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha, same conclusion generated from a different pasuk. The pasuk says the im machinina mistefercha asher kasafta. Mecheninak of Moshe asks Hakadosh Baruch Hu, erase me from it. What does that mean? That's different shal Rishayim. That's a sefer Rishayim. Me sefer cha, your sefer, that's different shal tzaddikim. And Asher Kasafta, that which he wrote, that's different shal beinonim. Okay, so again, allusions in the pasuk to this idea of the three sfarim that are open and closed. Tanya. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa. This is a long brisa that we're about to engage in. The brisa starts right now, 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Tazayin Amud Beis, and continues almost halfway through the next Amud. This brisa over here is going to take us through, again, some basic ideas regarding din, judgment, discussion of tshuva, categories in terms of where people fall in the judgment, again, to the best of our understanding. Bechame Omrim. Gimel Kitos Hein L'Yom HaDin. They're basically, we're going to take the Jewish people and we're going to put them into three groups. Achashal Sadin Gemur V'Achashal V'Shaim Gemur V'Achashal Beinonim. So, okay, so we're going to look at things very simplistically and basically, those are good, those are bad, and those are somewhere in the middle. So, tzadikim gemurim nechtam v'nechtamim la'altar. L'chayei olam. It's good. So, those who are tzadikim gemurim, so they're going to be signed sealed immediately. And rishayim gemurim nechtam v'nechtamim la'altar l'gehenim. And those that are rishayim are going to be signed and sealed immediately for gehenim. Shenema v'rabim yeshne ad masafar yakitsu eile l'chayei olam v'eile l'charpus. L'daron olam. Okay, so the pasuk in Daniel gives us a description of those who are going to either chayei olam or cherpos l'daron olam, either up or down. But in other words, they're signed and sealed immediately. And beinonim. Now, what if you're in the middle? So what happens after 120 years? Yordim l'gehenim. So they go down to gehenim umitzavtzefim. And look at Rashi. Rashi gives a description over here. Scary part of today's daf. Rashi writes, "Saftzefim." So akinu bochin mitoch yisurim sha'achas va'olam. So they scream and they cry because of the yisurim. In other words, the suffering that takes place. And sha'achas, they go in for some time and then they come back up. That's the beinonim. Shenamar. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Zechariah, "Ve'evesi es hashlishis ba'esh." This third group, right? The in the context of our brisa, the word shlishis means over here the third group. The first group tzaddikim, second group rishayim, third group now this beinonim crowd. So v'tzafasim k'tzrof es hakesef, and they are purified. In other words, the purpose of gehenim is a purification process. K'tzrof es hakesef, just like silver gets purified. In other words, all the impurities of the silver, you put in a fire and you remove the impurities and you just get out the silver. Same thing with these beinonim. Uvechanitam kevachon es hazahav. Who you cry b'shmi v'ani ano so. Call out in my name and I will save him. V'aleim amr chana. Chana has a description of them. Chana sings about it in her shira. Hashem meimis mechaya mori cha'ol v'ya'al. So Chana says in the shira, Kadosh Baruch Hu kills a person, resurrects him, brings him down to Sheol. Sheol is always a reference to Gehenim. That's the Torah's way of describing Gehenim. V'ya'al, and Kadosh Baruch Hu brings him up. Okay, so again, a description of this third group of people, the Beinonim, who will undergo some sort of Gehenim, some sort of purification experience, and then be brought up from Gehenim. Beisilo Omer v'Rav Chesed, Malte Kapei Chesed. Beisilo says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Rav Chesed. This is a selection of the Yud Gimel Midos Sharachimim, which we'll discuss later this morning as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu bestows kindness, meaning he's mate kape chesed. Kadosh Baruch Hu inclines in the direction of kindness. Baleim Amar David, David says regarding these people, after Kiyashma Hashem es koli, va'aleim Amar David, kol ha'parsha kula dalosi v'li yoshia. Dalosi, I am poor, V'li Yoshia, and nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves me. So that means that even though I don't fully deserve the mercy and the rachmanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I receive it. Poshe Yisrael begufan, u'poshe umas ha'olam begufan, yardim l'gehenim v'nidonim b'yud beis chodesh. If you are a poshea, if you are a sinner with your body, the Gemara will describe what that means later on in the daf, or let's say you're umas ha'olam, you have the nations of the world, so obviously, not obviously, I'm saying obviously because I know what poshe Yisrael begufan means. So the Gemara later on will talk about it, we'll say that's in reference to wearing tefillin. If you're poshea umas ha'olam, if you are a member of any other nationality in the world, and you are poshea begufan, again later on the Gemara is going to explain what that means. It's obviously not a reference to tefillin. They don't have a mitzvah of tefillin. So yordin legehenim v'nidonim b'yud beis chodesh. So they go down to Gehenim and they're judged for 12 months. La'achrid beis chodesh gufan kala v'nishmas nisrafas. And after 12 months, so their body is extinguished, their neshama is burned. The ruach mifazra san tachas kapos ragle tzadikim, and it's sprinkled underneath the feet of the tzadikim shenamar. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Malachi to describe this. V'yisosim rashaim ki yiyu efer tachas kapos raglechem. There will be ashes underneath the feet of underneath the palms of their feet. Okay, so basically now let's see if we can organize this information. It's hard to organize, but let's see if we can organize this information. So again, we go back to the beginning of the braisa. So there's tzaddikim gemurim, there's rishayim gemurim, and okay, and they are, those are the extremes. Then there's the beinonim. So within the beinonim, basically now we're going to have almost, if you will, two categories. Within the beinonim, you have a selection of beinonim who are going to go down to Gehenim, but then be lifted up. You'll have the beinonim who go down to Gehenim 12 months of Gehenim, and then be lifted up. The difference between the two is that those who go down and spend just a moment at Gehenim, so they're not poshea begufan. Those who spend 12 months at Gehenim are poshea begufan. Okay, that's so far the different categories of people that we have. Aval, continuing in the Braisa. However, now we're going to talk about a select group of people who are going to have no reprieve. Aval haminim ha-mesoros v'apikorsim. So you have a min, you have a mesor, and you have an apikoros. This is where I should have brought a Rambam with me this morning. Okay, I apologize. Anyway, the Rambam goes through and identifies exactly who all these people are. We'll take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi gives a very sparse description of who we're talking about over here. Open up a Rambam. Okay, so do it on your own today. Open up the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam over there goes through very detailed description of everyone we're mentioning over here. So first of all, amen. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Anashim asher havchu divrei Elokim chayim, l'ra'ah kagon tzedukim u'baitusim." So min, Rashi says, heretics. Rashi gives examples. Tzaduk and Baitos, right? Pirkei Avos, remember Tzaduk and Baitos, two students of Antignos Ish Socho, where he said that when you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, do so with the intent that you're not going to receive a reward, and they thought, oh no, we're not receiving a reward, and they went off the derech and they rejected a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh. So Rashi says, put them under the category of min, right? Havchu divrei Elokim chayim lera'ah. Take that which a Kadosh Baruch Hu says and turn it bad. Okay, in other words, distorting the Torah. That is min. Mesora, so Rashi over here writes, Malshinim, Shemosim Mamon Yisrael Biarov de Kochavim. So Rashi over here gives a classic description of what a Mesora is. A Mesora is somebody who hands another Jew's money over to the authority. That is a Mesora. Okay, Rambam, again, take a look at the Rambam today. I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me. Rambam gives another definition as well. And in Apikoros, Rashi writes, Mevazet Tamid Chachamim. Someone who has a disdain towards Talmid HaChachamim and embarrasses Talmid HaChachamim and shames Talmid HaChachamim and says disrespectful things regarding, it shows a lack of deference to Talmid HaChachamim. So that is an apikoros, Rashi says over here. And again, look at the Rambam for more definitions of these group of people. Shekafer b'tar v'shekafer b'tchias ha-mesim. That who rejects the Torah or rejects tchias ha-mesim, meaning says simply that it will not happen. Or deviates from the community. Rashi over here does not like the girsa of Parshu Midarchi Tzibor. Rashi says, basically, it's not its, Rashi writes, it's not its own category. This is a general description of everyone we've been describing up until now. Right? You see Rashi, Pirshu Medarchi Tzibor, Lo Garsinan, Dainu Kolhani Dela El, V'hach Masitzim B'Seder Olam, V'hach Garsinan Le'hasim She Pirshu Medarchi Tzibor, Kegon. In other words, if you look at Seder Olam brings it down, and Seder Olam introduces all these people as people who are left the reservation. I use that expression often. Okay, this is basically where it comes from, meaning they are not on. They're not on board. So again, take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam does have this as part of his girsa, and the Rambam also describes this as well. Vishenasu chitechem be'eretz chayim, or they terrorize. In other words, they're leaders of the community, and they lead. And every leader has to have a little bit of intimidation. That's part of being a leader, is that you have to instruct and direct, and that's all correct. But they terrorize in doing so. They exploit their power. And the Gemara says they fit into this category. V'shechatu v'hechtiyus harabim. They sin and they cause others to sin. Kagon. And here the Brisa gives an example. Yeravam ben Nevat v'chaverav. Yeravam ben Nevat, the starter of the break-off community. Jewish community was united for the first two kings. That's it. We made it through two kings in history. I'm not including Shaul. You're right. Please forgive me. But in other words, starting with David, then going to Shlomo, and after Shlomo HaMelech, and after the building of the first Beis HaMikdash, so that's it. The kingdom got divided. Rechavim, son of Shlomo, took Yehuda and Binyamin in the south, and the north was taken by Yeravam ben Nevat. And the Gemara says that's a good example. What is he an example of? He's an example of somebody who is not only a chote, but machti. He causes other people to sin. He didn't want his kingdom, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, if you will, he didn't want the northern kingdom to go down to Yerushalayim. And because if they go down to Yerushalayim, so that may cause unification. He does not want that. So what did he do? He set up calves. Up in the north, and he had the Jewish people during the pilgrimage, instead of making pilgrimage down to Yerushalayim, he had them going and worshipping the calves. So that's an example of chote umachti. He not only sinned, but he caused others to sin as well. So everyone we just described, beginning with the min, the masor, the apikaris, everyone we just described, all the way down to Yeravam and Nevat. So what category do they fall under? Says the Braisa. So Yordan le Gehenem, Vinidon Nimbala Dori Doros. So they go down to Gehenem and they don't come up. In fact, they last longer than Gehenem. I know that sentence sounds strange, but that's exactly what the Gemara says. Shenemar. V'yatsu v'ro b'pigur anashim ha'poshim. B. Gehenem kala. V'hein einem kalam. Gehenem eventually will come to an end. Gehenem, the whole purpose of Gehenem is purification. Right? It's object oriented. Its objective is to purify, but eventually there's not going to be a need for Gehenna. Fine, so Gehenna will stop. But these people, however, will not come to an end. So Shenamar Vitzurim Laval Shaol. Vitzurim Levalos Shaol Mizvulo V'Kokach Lama Mimnei Shapashi Dem Mizvul. And why? Because they went against the Zvul. What does that mean? They went against the Zvul, Shenamar. First, let's quote the Pasuk, Mizvulo. The Ein Zvul, Ela Beis HaMikdash. The Zvul is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning they attacked the Beis HaMikdash, which means actually that they were directly attacking Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shenamar. Bano Benisi Beis Zvul, Lach. V'Aleim Amra, Chana, Hashem, Yechatu Mirivav. And on this, Chana said, again, going back to the Shir of Chana, Hashem Yechatu Mirivav. Anyone who calls against you, directly against you, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yechatu. Destroy them, grind them up, meaning that's it, be done with them. Okay? So the Adkan, that is the end of the Braisa. The Braisa started all the way back on the previous Amud, on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Beis, starting with the words Beishameh Omrim, and then the Gemara then quoted the opinion of Beis Hillel, and then the Gemara said that categorically there's another category of people who who are going to be in Gehenna and will continue to be Gehenna and to the best of our understanding, even after there's no longer Gehenna, they're still going to be there as well. And that's all the people that we mentioned: the Min, the Apikoros, the Kofer B'Torah, and all these people. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the Braisa, and now the Gemara is going to discuss. Now, it's interesting. The first discussion the Gemara is going to have, we're in the middle of Yizayin Amud Aleph, the first discussion the Gemara is going to have, it's really not clear who we're describing. Remember now that we've dealt with a lot of people categorically. We talked about the Tzadikim Gemurim, the Rishayim Gemurim, so those are your extremes. Then we talked about the Beinonim, the middle category. We talked about the Beinonim that are Poshe Begufan, so they're Mechsa Mechsa, they're in somewhere in the middle, but they are Poshe Begufo. They caused by they did sin with their body. Again, we'll give a description of what that means momentarily. And then we talked about the people who are a direct rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Apikoros, and so we're talking about those group of people as well. So in other words, we've dealt with now almost a half a dozen different types of people. Amar Reb Yitzchak Bar Avin, Upeneim, and their faces. Now, who are we describing when we say their faces? It's unclear from the Gemara who they're describing. Right, obviously not the Tzadikim Gemurim, obviously. But in other words, we're talking about the group, some group of people who went through some form of Gehenna. Unclear who exactly he's describing, but Upeneim Dom L'Shulei Kedera. But their faces look like the bottom of a pot. The mushal over here is, you know, when you burn food in a pot, so you clean out the pot and you'll never get it clean. Meaning that there's always going to be traces of the burnt on the bottom of the pot. So anyone who has to experience some form of Gehenna is going to have to is going to have that burnt look. Again, kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, basically the imprint of Gehenna is always going to be with the individual. Rava says, you know who we're describing right now? We're describing those people who are living affluent lives in Mechuzah. Mechuzah is a town in Bavel, always referenced in the Gemara for its opulence, and the wealthy people in Mechuzah. And Rava says, that's what we're describing. Umakrin, and they will be called B'nai Gehenim, those people who went through some form of Gehenim. Okay, again, the statement in of itself is hard to understand. And then, the bigger issue is, who are we even describing in these last three lines of Gemara? That's also unclear. Amar. The Gemara now is going to go back over some of the points made in the Braisa and try to elaborate more on these points in the Braisa. Beisel Omrim v'Rav Chesed Mate Kape Chesed. Beisel says HaKadosh Baruch Hu inclines towards Chesed, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically serves as two functions, as a judge, and the judge is there for the strict letter of the law, and then he's a Rachman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanus. So Beisel, as you would expect, right, the softer Beis Hillel. So the Beis Hillel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachman. The Gemara says, okay, hard to see that in the sense that the Braisa says and the Pasuk says, right, the Pasuk in Zechariah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes this third group, the Beinoni group, and what does he do with this third group? He puts them in fire. That's Rachmanus, meaning that's Din. What's the Rachmanus? So the Gemara says, Hasan Beposhi So Begufan. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. But that's a reference to the people who are posheh begufan, they sin with their bodies. Meaning, if you're just simply a mechsa mechsa, if you're a benoni, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachmanus, no gehenim. But posheh begufo, so then you have to get some form of purification. So, posheh is a begufan, v'amart leslu takanta. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Gemara, the Braisa said it's a helfnish. There's nothing that's going to help him. So kileifa etakanta barov avonos hacha mechza avonos mechza zechuyos. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Posheis obegufan really is a lost soul. And now I could say it as literally as I possibly can imagine. The poshe begufo is a lost soul, but that is if not only is he poshe begufo, but majority most of the time or most of his merits are on that of a sin. However, I'm sorry, but if he's mechza al mechza, but if he's 50-50. Now, by the way, in terms of the accounting, the Rambam writes, I know I say this all the time, but better stated, the Rambam says that we are not the accountants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have no idea what the value of every sin is, what the value of every mitzvah is. And so we're obviously not going to know where a person stands in terms of 50-50, 60%. In other words, these are you know, we could throw around these terms, but we just simply don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighs every act and every mitzvah, every chait. So Rambam writes it. Third parak. Again, all this you're going to find in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva on the Rambam. So hacha mechza avonos mechza zechuyos the isbu nami avon to poshe yisrael begufan losaygele de la veves esashishes veish. So if you're 50-50 and you're poshe begufo, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go through some purification process, and there has to be some Gehenna. V'yimla v'rav chesem ate kapeh chesed. However, if there is no poshe begufo, and it's just a Beinoni, and he's 50-50, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a right to have Rachmanis. Okay, back to the Braisa. V'aleim amar David after kishma Hashem. David says, right, we know this parak in Tehillim, we say it every time we say Hallel. David says, "Ahavti, I love Hakadosh Baruch Hu kishma Hashem because Hashem listens." Darsh Rava Ma'idich say, "Ahavti kishma Hashem." Amar Knesset Yisrael v'nei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people in mass says to God, "Ribono Sholam, emas ani o'avo. When do I know that we are loved? Lefanecha, in front of you, bizman she'ato shomea kol tachanunai. When you listen to our voice, dalosi v'li Yehoshia." The pasuk in Tehillim says that we're poor, and yet you save us. And the Gemara gives a simple pshat: Afa pisha dala ani min mitzvos. Even though I am impoverished of mitzvos, lina ela hoshia. But you still find it within your eyes to go ahead and to save me. Poshe yisrael begufan. Okay, we've thrown around this term a lot over the course of the Braisa, and even after the Braisa. We've said that if you are mechsa mechsa and you're poshe yisrael begufan, that you sin with your body, so then you are subject to, you need some form of purification. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be a rachamim at that point in time. So the obvious question: what does that mean? My niu. So Amar Rav. So Rav gives an explanation. Karkafta d'lomanach tefillin. If you are a karkafta, karkafta is the description the Gemara often gives for the head, a head without tefillin, meaning somebody who doesn't wear tefillin. Look at the Rambam. Look at the Rif. And they all write that what the Gemara actually, their gears of the Gemara is, karkafta de lo manach tefillin le'olam. They never put tefillin on their head. Meaning someone who's gone a lifetime without putting on tefillin, obviously we're talking about men, there's no mitzvah for women to wear tefillin, but if a man goes through his entire life and not wearing tefillin, at least again, that's the gears of the Rambam and the Rif, so that's considered, then he's categorically poshe Yisrael begufan. Take a look at Tosas over here, fourth Tosas on the Amud. So, in other words, it's not right. Most of us in this room right now are not wearing tefillin, right? We're poshe yisrael begufan. So Tosus says, of course not. Meaning Tosus writes, "Im osik b'torah kemeniach tefillin dame de'amar b'mechilta osik b'torah patur min tefillin." In other words, if you're engaged in activities that right now it's not the right time to wear put on tefillin, so that's fine. That Tosus says that's not a problem. For Rabbeinu Tam Efrash, "Da'achak kishah mitzvah bezuya alav." Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam writes, what the Gemara over here means that attitudinally, you're anti-tfillin. Meaning, it bothers me. You have a poor attitude towards tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam says that's what the Gemara is referencing. That's what it means that you're a posheya yisrael begufan. Avelim yari laneach mishum debein aguf naki. But remember, right? You have to maintain very strict guidelines, and when you're wearing tefillin, you need a gufnaki, you need a clean body, right? You can't pass gas, you can't have bad thoughts. You have to be in a real state of purity when wearing tefillin. And right now, you're saying to yourself, "I can't do that. I can't be in that pure state." So Rabbeinu Tam says you're not in this category of poshe yisrael begufan, right? Kelisha b'aknafim kizis b'reish b'metomnim v'hudoi kol shah Hashem lo yuchal ezayir lo shamra b'tarav v'kedusha havada ein alav din poshe yisrael begufan. Rabbeinu Tam writes very clearly: you have the correct attitude, and your abstinence from tefillin. By the way, when he says abstinence from tefillin, he means for the duration of the day. Meaning, obviously, at one point in the day, you're going to put on tefillin, but you put them on, you take them off. You don't wear them for the majority of the day, but because you're worried about gufnaki, you do not fall under this category. Okay. And then Tosfos throws in at the end, and this obviously all speaks about somebody who does not do tshuva. Right? V'chol hani d'shmaita mishlo asa tshuva. Aval asa tshuva amrina b'yuma d'tshuva tola umisa memarekes. Right? This idea that you're poshe yisrael begufan, and you die with that label, that's only without tshuva. But if you have tshuva, so then you are not, you do not fall under this category. Back to the Gemara.
Here also, in English, that's Tosfos saying that people don't have their tefillin on the right spot.
Now that's not Tosfos. That's the Mishnah Berurah who says it. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah says that somebody who does not put his tefillin on the right spot, it's no different than the tefillin just sitting in the box in your tefillin sack, and That's also you also don't get credit for putting on tefillin. Okay. In other words, there's a correct place to put on tefillin. I mean, it's reasonable what he's saying, even though it doesn't sit well, because if you're not putting in the right spot, you're not wearing the tefillin. Okay. Posheya umas ha'olam begufan. So now we turn. Okay. So now we know what posheya yisrael begufan means. Good. I mean, good. Right. Again, these are tough. Yeah, obviously, I mentioned the beginning of the daf. These are obviously very tough gemaras. These are, you know, this is some of it's hard to hear. Hard to say. The poshe almost olam begufan. Then we talk about the nations of the world. What does that mean? They're poshe begufan. So obviously it's not tefillin. There's no mitzvah for them to wear tefillin. So am a rav ba'avera. So rav says it means avera. Okay, the Gemara gives a one word definition, and to be honest with you, this one word definition doesn't do much in terms of what it means. Oh, they're avaryan. They're sinners. So usually, generally speaking, when we say the word avera in the Gemara, and it's not given any further clarification. So usually it's a reference to arayos, illicit relations. We know one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is arayos. So if left to my own devices and I would have to tell you what the Gemara means, so I would say arayos. Okay, I can support that by Noach, B'nei, the door HaMabel. So the door HaMabel, the Gemara said earlier in our Masechta, so what was their big aver? The big aver was arayos, was illicit relations. So if you look at the Baal Tosfos on the Samud, I don't get that sense from the Baal Tosfos. He writes Ba'arayus Shekein Ben Noach Muzar Alav. So I do get that sense from Tosfos. Tosfos says it's a reference to Arayus because Ben Noach are prohibited from Arayus. Okay, so, I'm sorry. So Tosfos does support this idea that the Avera over here is a reference to Arayus. Vishenasnu Chitchem Be'eretz Chayim. Okay, once again, we go back to the Brisa. We're quoting from the Brisa. We're talking about the leader who terrorizes his people. The leader who terrorizes his people, so he falls under the same category as the min, the apikores, meaning he's in a really bad place. The Gemara goes on to explain, Amarachista, Zeparnas, Amatel Emi Yisera Alatzibor. We're talking about a leader who intimidates, and he over-intimidates, shelo l'shem shamayim, and he's not doing so to run the show. Sometimes, again, as I mentioned earlier, you're a leader, so you have to be a little bit intimidating. You're running the show, and you need to be a leader, and you need to make decisions, and you need to implement your decisions. Okay, so it's unpleasant, but every leader needs to be a little bit intimidating. However, if the leader's intimidating for self-serving purposes, shelo l'shem shamayim, so then he falls under that category of the min, the apikaris. He's in that really bad category. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Kalpanas, Amatal Ema Yisera, Al Atzibar Shalol Shem Shamayim, Ein Ara Ben Tamin Chacham. Furthermore, the Gemara says, not only is he doomed, but he's not going to have a son who's a Tamin Chacham. And I'm interjecting in the Gemara, and why is that so bad? Meaning, as if it wasn't bad enough, because if he had a son who's a Tamin Chacham, so the zchus of the son could have helped the father. But the Gemara says he's going to be in such a bad place that not only is he, but he's not even going to have a lineage that's going to help his cause. Shenema lachen yiru an Hashem lo yireh kol chach me'lev. These men who are intimidating, they're not going to see chach me'lev, meaning they won't have children or sons. Period. Next selection of the Braisa. Beisil omrim rachesa matika bechesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inclines towards chesed. Hechi avid. How is God going to do this? This Gemara to me is interesting, although I don't really see the difference between the two sides. But obviously, if you are engaged in Machshava, if you know Machshava well, I'm sure you can understand these Gemaras better. Now look, the way the Gemara visualizes is that it's a scale. And you take all your zechuyos and you put them on one side of the scale, and you take your avonos and you put them on the other side of the scale. That's the imagery. It's a simple imagery. As I mentioned just a couple of days ago, right? The month of Tishrei falls under what constellation? Maznayim. It's the scale. So in other words, it's the perfect imagery. So zechuyos on one side, chataim on the other side. And now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to work with din, he'll just let the scales fall where they are. And that's it, and that's your fate. Now there's one of two ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu can help. Either he can push down on the mitzvah side, or he can lift up the avon side. And the Gemara over here debates which way does he do it. Now again, if you're engaged in machshava, you understand the difference. If you're like me, you don't fully understand the difference. But The Gemara brings down a machlokas. Hechi Avid, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kovsho. So Rabbi Elazar says he's Kovesh. He pushes down on the mitzvah side. Shenema Yashuv Yerachmanu Yechbosh Avnaseinu. You see the word Yechbosh from the word Kavosh. Pushes it down. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Amar, no say. He lifts up the other side. Shenema no say Avon Va'over Al Pesha. Okay, two ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it. Okay, and again, you can, I'm sure you can better explain than me what the difference between the two are. It's the same result. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel Ma'avir Rishon Rishon V'cheni Amida. And Debei Rabbi Shmuel says he has a different way of understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu implements his Rachmanus. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. He takes out the first Avera. Meaning that he doesn't put all the Averas on the scale. He takes out Rishon Rishon, one at a time. Right, Rashi, Mavi, I'm sorry, no. Rashi, Mavi, Rishon, Rishon. Avon Shebe Rishonim Habayim Lesitam Lekaf Ma'aviro Vishamto. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu just withholds a couple of the Averos. Shema Mechza Mechza, Kevin Shechaser Echad Mehem, Yichru Ezechuiz Vekachi Amida. So that means if it's 50-50, which the scale means would have broke even, so by HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholding a couple of the Averos, so now it's going to tilt in the direction of Zechuyos. That's the Rachmanus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Am Rava ve'avon atzmon and nimchak. Rava says, yes, but that doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the avon. He doesn't expunge it, just simply doesn't put it on the scale. However, if there's a majority, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the avon in. Anyway, you're inclined to the side of avon, and he's going to throw it back on the scale. Amar Rava, Rava Amar, I know. Amar Rava, kol amavir al midosa mavir lo kol pshaav. How do you elicit more rachmanus than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You behave in a rachmanus fashion, and that mida keneged mida HaKadosh Baruch Hu will behave towards you in a rachmanus fashion. So basically, you let things slide. That's the Rava's instructions for us. You let things slide, and you let things slide, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you in kind. Shenemar no se'avon v'over al pesha. Lemi no se'avon, lemi she'over al pesha. So if you let things slide, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let things slide with you. Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua chalash. Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua is sick. Really sick. Al Rav Papa l'shulei bay. Rav Papa goes and visits Rav Huna. And chazia d'chalash le'alma. He sees that he was sick, really sick. Literally, the world is on top of him. His life is coming to an end. So Amalu Shavizul Ezavdasa. So Rav Papa says, okay, let's get the Tachrichin. Now, he's not dead yet. Rav Huna's not dead yet. And it's going to make for an uncomfortable moment in just a second. Lesof Itpach. And Rav Huna heals from the illness. So he was deathly ill. He should have died. He didn't die. He had a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a Yeshua, not just a Refuah, but a Yeshua. And he survived. And now, Rav Papa is humiliated. Hava mechzev Rav Papa lemechzeh. Gemara spells it out. Rav Papa was terribly humiliated to see Rav Huna, because now Rav Papa, look, he made a really embarrassing statement. At least now it's embarrassing. He didn't die. And he said, get the tachrichin ready. Amalei my chazis. So they asked Rav Huna, what did you see? So in other words, right, you were supposed to die. What happened? What did you hear in Shamayim that caused you to live? So Amar Lehu, he said to them, meaning, right, because Rav Papa wouldn't speak to him. Rav Papa was too embarrassed. So Amar Lehu, he said to them, En Hachi Hava. He says, yes, absolutely, I was supposed to die. V'Amar Lehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ho V'lo Mukim B'Milei, Lo Takumu B'Hadei. He didn't stand on his principle, meaning he, Rav Huna, let things slide. So you know what I'm going to do with him? I'm going to let things slide with him as well. Shenemar no se'avon v'over ha'pesha. Lemi no se'avon l'over pesha. Okay, so Gemara gives a ma'aseh shehaya, an incident where we get to see this actually in action, where Rav Huna let things slide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? According to the strict letter of the law, he should die. I'm going to give him a pass.
Is it also a ma'aseh of beer where he got.
With who? With Rav Huna?
Could be. 400 things of beer that got punished, and then he had to turn and make a lot
of money. Right. Was that Rav Huna or was that Rav Papa? Okay. I do remember someone. I'm Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Alev, a coats ba, I'm sorry. Alia v'kotzba. Okay, the pasuk is wonderful, but there's a little bit of a thorn in the pasuk. Meaning, right, the mashal says, Rashi explains, like you're eating the tail of a sheep. I know none of us do that, but you're eating the tail of the sheep, it's delicious. It's really a fatty piece of meat. It's absolutely delicious. I'm not speaking health-wise. It's just, it's great. Remember that story in the beginning of Pesachim? Right, Remember the story in the beginning of Pesachim? Rav Yehuda ben Becerra told the guy who was flaunting, you know, I ate carbon Pesach, it was unbelievable. So Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says to him, go ask for the alia, go ask for the tail. It's the best part of the animal. And meanwhile, right, those of us who know anything about carbon, so the alia, the tail goes up on the Mizbech, and they realize that he was not a Jew, he was a guy. And okay, anyway, the... But anyway, alia, so it's a great pasuk. It's like the Gemara here is giving imagery. Like it's like a great piece of meat, but a kotzba. It's got a thorn inside of it. What's the thorn inside of it? L'sheiris nachlaso, v'lul chol nachlaso. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis, but not for everybody. Right? Some, but not everybody. L'mi shemesim atzmo kishirayim. Specifically, anyone who makes himself out like shirayim, like leftovers, meaning somebody who's humble and behaves in a humble fashion. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanos for, but not necessarily for everybody. Okay, top of Yudzayin Amud Beis. We're going to make now the same point three times over. The Gemara is going to quote three Amoraim. They're all going to make the same exact point. It's just going to come out from three different psukim. So let's begin, number one. Rav Huna Rami Ksiv. So first we start off with Rav Huna. Right, Rav Huna who just witnessed himself the Rachmanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Siv Sadik Hashem b'chol derecha v'ksiv v'chasid b'chol ma'asav. Okay, pasuk I think we're all familiar with. Right, we say it three times a day. So the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzaddik, and then we describe him as being a chasid. That's confusing. Meaning tzaddik means tzaddik, righteous, justice, chesed, he's a rachman. So how does all this work? So the Gemara explains b'tchil tzaddik ulevesof chasid. So when it comes to the original din, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik, meaning tzaddik over here, meaning tzedek, meaning justice. And then, chesed. Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes a chesed, he has rachmanas. Rabbi Elazar HaMiksev here now, number two. Same point, different pasuk. Ulecha Hashem chesed, uksiv ki ata tishalem le'ish kima'aseyu. You, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give chesed, but at the same time, you give every person exactly what he deserves. Well, again, decide. No decision to make. B'tchila ki atat shalem k'maseihu. Again, originally, Kadosh Baruch Hu does exactly what people deserve. And then, ulvesof ulecha Hashem chesed. Then chesed. Ilfei ve'amri la ilfa. Okay, girsa in terms of the question of girsa. Who exactly said it? But Rami. Third time the Gemara makes this point. V'rav chesed uksiv ve'emes. Yudgimo mito shorachimim. 13 attributes. One of the 13 attributes is emes. That's not an attribute of rachmanos, meaning a truth. Truth be told, this is what you deserve. So where does emes fit in? So again, the Gemara's answer is b'tchila the emes ulevesof rav chesed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu at first is emes and then chesed. Again, same basic idea. Starts with din and then ends on rachmanos. Vayavor Hashem apanav yikra. So as long as we mention the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, here the Gemara now spends time discussing it a little bit more in depth. Am Rav Yochanan Malay Mikra Kosev Yeshala Amar Malam Shinisatif Kadosh Baruch Hu Kshliach Sibor. Kadosh Baruch Hu wraps him up like a Shliach Sibor. Right, the Haralola Moshe Seder Tfila and showed Moshe, here's how you daven. You want to daven on behalf of the Jewish people, here's how you do it. Amalo Kozmanshi saw Chotim Yasulafana Kesedar Azeh. And when the Jewish people sin, so this is what you do. You'll articulate the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Va'ani mochel lahem. And I will provide forgiveness for them. Okay? And be nice, the Gemara is not going to do this. The Gemara is not going to go through all Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Gemara over here only articulates two of the 13. Hashem, although we just went through two others. Kel Racham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanus, and Emes. Okay, and it is difficult, to be honest with you. It is difficult to understand how Emes fits into the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Meaning the Gemara presented just a moment ago, Kadosh Baruch Hu starts with Emes, and then he goes to Rachmanus. So, but how to understand Emes as being part of the Yud Gimel Midos, that is difficult to understand. Anyway, what are the first two Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? Hashem, Hashem. Okay, start off with the Shem Hashem. Now, Shem Hashem is mentioned twice, and the Gemara here goes on to explain. Ani hu kodem sheyechete ha'adam, ve'ani hu ala'achar shechata adam, v'yase tshuva. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu both before and after. Before the sin, I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and afterwards, I'm the same a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I will meet the person the same way even after the person sins. That is to say, of course, if he does tshuva. Kel racham v'chanan, am Rav Yehuda, bris korsal yugam amido, she'enem chozrim reikam. Kel racham v'chanan, there is a bris, a covenant between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that if we articulate the yugam amido sharachamim, they will not go unanswered. She'nemar, hinei anochi koreis bris. If you look in Parshas Kisisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when introducing the yugam amido sharachamim, he says, I will be koreis bris, I will establish a bris. What are the Yugim Amidos HaRachamim? So again, I'm going to give you more homework for tonight. So go through the second Tosfos in the Amud. Second Tosfos in the Amud, so Rabbeinu Tam goes through the Yugim Amidos HaRachamim, and he actually breaks up the Pasuk, so it comes out to 13. He says, Hashem and Hashem are one and two. You can take a look at the beginning of the Tosfos, where he writes, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Deshnei Shemot HaRishonim, Heim Shnei Midos. The two first mentions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yud Gimel Midos, that's one and two of the 13. Kedamrin and Hacha, Ani Hashem Kodem Sheyechteh L'Rachem Alav, Ve'ani Merachem La'achar Sheyechteh. Im Yashav Hashem Midas Rachemim Hu V'lo Kelokim Shehu Midas Adin. Okay, and he goes on. So take a look in Tosfos for an articulation of the 13 attributes. Let's do a little bit more for today. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We are in the first wide line of the Amud. We're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Gedola Tshuva Shemekras Gzardina Shal Adam. Tshuva, the significance of Tshuva, tears up the Gzardin. Shenemar Hashmein Lev Ha'am Azev Aznav Hachbeid Ve'inav Hashem Penyur Ebe Inav Va'aznav Yishma Ulevavo Yavin Vishav. The person does Tshuva. The Rafalo and Akash Baruch Hu provides the healing. So Amale Rapabala Abai Vidimalif Negzardin. How do you know that that pasuk was describing after the Gzardin? Maybe it's before Gzardin. But who knows? Maybe after Gzardin, Tshuva doesn't help. Amale, no. The Rafalo, the Gemara says that's not correct. That's not the correct pshat. But even after the Gzardin, Akash Baruch Hu gives Tshuva and allows Tshuva to be effective. Ksiv Ezu Davish at Sarach Rafua, Havi Amar Zeg Gzardin. Meaning, if you're asking for a Rafua, that means you're sick. If you're sick, that means there was a Gzardin. So if there's a Gzardin, and the Torah says, Vishav V'Rafalo, it means that Tshuva can help even after the Gzardin. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to spend now, the remainder of today's daf, challenging this idea that Tshuva is not going to help after Gzardin, and the conclusion will continuously be, no, Tshuva can help even after the Gzardin. Let's just do a little bit, and tomorrow we'll continue, we'll finish up. Meisvei, the Pasuk says, Hashav Bein Taim, Meisvei Hashav Bein Taim Mochlin Lo Lo Shav Bein Taim Afila Hevi Kol Eile Nevayosh Ba'olam Ein Mochlin Lo. If you do tshuva in between, what does that mean? In between, Rashi says, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So then you will have a mechila. But if you do not do tshuva in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, as we all know, that's the Gzardin, that's the Chasima, that's the sealing of the judgment. So then you could do whatever you want. You could bring all the Elim in the world, and you won't receive a Mechila. Now it's funny. If I can't do this, I know. But if I were to answer, I would simply say, yeah, but that's not tshuva. That's just simply bringing karbanos. Meaning, okay, we're talking about tshuva. Maybe tshuva is different. But the Gemara gives a different answer. The Gemara says, Lokasha Abiyachid Habit Sibor. The Gemara gives a distinction between being an individual and being a Sibor, being part of a community. Meaning, as an individual, en achinami. You have a Gzardin, so that's it. You can't tear up the Gzardin after Yom Kippur. But as a community, you get together and you do tshuva as a community, so that can tear up any Gzardin. Right, we could look at Nineveh as a perfect example, which is what we read about in Yom Kippur. Nineveh is a perfect example where there was a Gzardin. They did commit tshuva as a community, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu tore up the Gzardin. Okay, we'll stop over here. But tomorrow, again, the same basic idea. We're going to continue tomorrow, wondering if tshuva can help even after the Gzardin, and the answer will continuously be yes, tshuva can help even after the Gzardin. And halfway into tomorrow's daf, we're going to continue with trying to get a better understanding of what din means on Rosh Hashanah and where exactly it takes us. And then tomorrow's daf, we are actually going to do another Mishnah. The truth of the matter is we just started the next Mishnah already yesterday. Okay. Adkan. Thank you, Stuart, for taking care of the daf yesterday. And we'll continue tomorrow.